Welcome to episode 4, uno, dos, tres, cuatro of It's That Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell him what's up.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend. All right, so we had a game plan for this episode.
D. Rose.
Derrick Rose. However, pre-show, we've been talking about life, and we decided to interrupt our D. Rose talk, which we may get into later in this episode.
Or another episode.
Or whatever. But it's all about what we talked about was our truth, I guess is the way to put it. And
our truth from the WWE?
Yes. Ron Killings. That's the reason why we're doing this podcast. That guy was awesome. NWA champion, Jay. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not kidding about that. But it's about the reason why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it boils down to. And my viewpoint on it is I think that we have a voice. I think everybody has a voice. And it's up to that person to extend their voice, to live their truth necessarily, right? Because there was a time, at least in my life, where I didn't.
Right.
Where I didn't know my truth. And it took a camping trip and a weekend of sitting staring at the fire to get my shit together, right? To prioritize things and understand a very basic truth that is echoed by there's an entrepreneur named Gary Vaynerchuk. And the viewpoint of it, his whole credo, so to speak, is not giving a fuck. Like, we do the best we can with this podcast. We try to make it as entertaining as we can. But in the end, it's a lot like songwriting. You can't do what you think is the right, what somebody wants to hear, is the way to put it.
Correct.
You can't write a song that you think somebody wants to hear if it's a true song.
No.
If it's a job to you, like in Nashville, for example, not to throw anybody under the bus, Nashville.
Most likely it'll be garbage.
But there's people that
don't like music.
Not so much don't like music, but they just write songs because it's their job to write songs.
Current Nashville music is for people that don't like music. It's easy to listen to.
Correct.
There's nothing that offends anyone.
Nope.
It's in the background. Correct. You don't have to think about any of it.
No.
And I'm going to stop bashing Nashville music. No, because feel free. This is a very special episode of It's That Podcast where we talk about the feels and where we're at.
There's a bit of feels here. And look, it took that trip for me to comprehend the fact that, A, I don't care what you think, and B, you shouldn't care what I think, if that makes any sense.
Well, people tune into this podcast to hear what you think about sports,
of course,
because it's kind of your job and kind of your passion.
It is, and I understand all that.
Right.
But I want to do this not because I think somebody needs to hear it.
Right.
I'm doing this because it's fun to do.
And that's why we write music. We do it for us.
And we do
have
it.
To.
Right. We do it for us because we have to.
Right.
There's a nagging part of how we operate that it needs to get out if you're creative at all. If you're doing a vlog, a blog, a YouTube channel, a podcast like we're doing today, there's a part of it that you need to get out of your soul and get out of your system, right?
Right.
That's why everybody who does this does it. And there's some people that do it for money and kiss ass and whatever, and that's fine. That's their prerogative.
I'm not turning down any money that anybody wants to give us.
If anybody wants to advertise on this fine show, please feel free to contact us. However, I'm not going to cow to that, right?
Right.
I'm going to do what I think's right.
Right.
And what I think people not necessarily need to hear or want to hear, but what I feel I need to get out of my system.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I also am going to go one step further and say it's what you and I would want to hear.
Correct.
I want to hear something genuine.
Right.
I want to hear people tell me about their lives, man. Yeah, I mean, for sure. People, yeah. Honestly, people don't talk enough about that to each other anymore.
No, they don't.
I mean, we're guarded. It's,
and there's a,
you go through life with blinders on, correct, and try not to get hurt.
That's right. And there's what a, we're doing. There's a large part of it that wishes I had hit record earlier. Because it was a pretty cool conversation before this, and we'll try to replicate it best we can. But you, the way that I go through my life, and I have a wife and I have two stepdaughters that I married into, which is fine. It's great. I love my wife dearly. I love them dearly. But in the end, it's about what I think is right. It's my truth. It's not my truth according to them. It's my truth. It's what I need to convey. And if that truth is somewhere along the lines of, you know, the Bears suck, if it, that truth is Nashville country is shit, if that truth is I'm kind of a bastard to live with at times, then that's my truth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right. I own it.
Right.
I 100% own it, maybe 120% own it. I own it as best as I possibly can own it.
You dropped me on that earlier, Joe, yeah. And I was thinking that, you know, normally people don't evolve to that until they're of retirement age, mm-hmm, where they look at people and say, you know what? I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you think about what I look like.
Right.
I don't care if you think about what I like or what, right, I do or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
And life would be so much easier if we could all adopt that.
Right, right.
And you sitting in front of that fire,
yeah,
and kind of coming to that realization,
yeah,
very proud of you as a single person to do that,
yeah,
because it really took me being married to my wife and, yeah, having her look me in the eye and say, who cares?
Right.
Honestly, who, right, cares?
Right. And to that point, I just want to reiterate or clarify that I care 100% what my wife thinks. I do. I do. Like, I. But at the same point, it ends up being my truth in the end, right? Like, I have to do what I have to do.
Your Honor, man, I approach the bench.
And I'm like, hey, do you think, you know, it's not her permission necessarily, but I run it by her and I go, okay, this is what I'm doing. Do you have any questions, doubts, anything about it, right? But in the end, it ends up being my truth, my decision about. And it's not even, I'm not even talking micro level, like this bill, that bill, whatever. I'm talking, dude, macro.
I'm gonna call you on that.
All right.
Sorry.
That's exactly what my point is, that, you know, anybody outside your world, who cares? Who cares what they think?
Right.
You let into your world who you trust and whatever else with it, right?
But we're all kind of molded in that junior high,
yeah,
method, right, of how do you look, what are you wearing, how smart are you,
exactly,
you know, where do you live, right, who are your parents,
yeah,
what do you,
sure,
drive,
yep,
and it really doesn't matter.
Nope.
When it comes down to it,
it really doesn't.
I mean, I'm not even 50 and it's taken me quite a long time to realize this, but love who you love. Have your friends who your friends are.
Yeah.
Enjoy what you enjoy.
Live your truth, man.
Like, that's exactly what it is.
And I can't stress this enough. It took me a lot of work to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, some people just, they go to shrinks for years and years and tens of years, 20s of years.
And I have,
Joe,
figure
that out. And there are many people who have. Fortunately, it only cost me kindling. Right?
Right,
and a couple beers. That's about it, really.
There,
and
go.
I sat there and I spent the whole weekend contemplating, thinking, not necessarily planning, but who am I? What do I do? What do I like? Why do I care what anybody else thinks of me?
Right.
And I dropped all that.
And
I would not be where I am today if I didn't do that. I wouldn't be a manager at my job. I wouldn't be, you know, married. I wouldn't be any of this if I didn't had not come to that. If you want to call it a come to Jesus moment or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
You know, it gave me the confidence at work, especially, to go, this is wrong. It should be this way. Or I think it should be this way. Or that's a great point, but that's not going to get this done. This is the way we need to do it. I would have never had that kind of confidence. I would have just laid back and not been anything I am today without that moment in my life to go, just say what you mean. Don't sugarcoat it and do the best you can with what you have.
Right.
And that's
no,
that's what I do, at least at my job, is I'm very proactive. I do my best to go, okay, this is what needs to get done. How are we going to do this? And I can only do so much being at the level I'm at as a manager, just a middle manager, without that above either the cooperation of my fellow middle managers or the people that work above me.
There's I'm raising so my eyebrow and saying, know your role is what you're saying.
It's not so and much you know do. Your role.
You can't do more than you
I'm
can
gonna
do.
I'm going to say the opposite of that.
Well.
Is that I don't necessarily know my role, but I know what's coming in the pipeline for my department.
Correct.
And I know what needs to get done, at least in my opinion. So I have no reservations.
There's right, no but you filter. Said you only have so much control over that.
Correct. I can tell my boss 1,000 things.
Right.
If those 1,000 things, if 2 of them get acted on, that's out of my control.
Right.
Right? All I can do is what I can do.
I think there's a lot of folks out there that feel the exact same way.
Right. But there's there are people in any company where they go, I don't have the balls to say that. I'm thinking it, right?
Correct.
I'm thinking,
no,
this has to happen, but I would never rock the boat and never do that. And I don't rock the boat in a negative way, I hope, but I want to make sure that I'm the best I can be, our company can be the best that we can be, our department is the best that we can be. That's my only motivating factor, is being the best.
And
that's
I appreciate that. Yeah. I guess most people would be the person in the boardroom that would say "and" at the wrong time and then go home and not be able to sleep for 3 weeks because right. they feel that they stepped on the wrong career path because of one word that they said in front of the,
or they go, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. They're yes, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Then just they would be in the White House.
Just to stay. Oh, jeez. I can't believe you said that. I'm just kidding. You know, not living your truth, not saying what you mean, not saying the things that need to get done serves nobody.
Correct. No, right? That's right.
I'd rather be the guy that goes, hey, okay, we're going to do that. Great. But here's how I think we can improve it. Or I can go, that sucks. We need to do this. Or these people need to up their game because they're not pulling their weight.
And again, I'm going to applaud you from over here and say that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And the number one thing that you did there was give an answer for each time that you said something negative.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there that don't do that.
No, they don't.
They will stand there and say, this is wrong. And then there's a silence. About it. There's crickets. And you're like,
all they do is bitch.
Hey.
All they do is bitch.
Hey.
Right? This sucks. And offer no alternative.
Right.
Where
what would make it better?
I'm the guy that won't say a word
until
I get it. Until I have an alternative. Like, I'll let shit slide until I go, okay, this is enough. How are we going to make this better? That's how I roll, because I don't want to be the guy that just empty. Right. I want to be the guy that goes, okay, this sucks, and here's why it sucks, and here's what we can do it better. A lot of it goes to proactive, reactive. I hate being reactive. I hate it. I want to jump on a problem as soon as it hops up and never have that problem again.
In my mind, Joe, there is no reactive.
No.
Because once you get there, it's too late.
You're done.
It's
right,
over.
Right, right. You haven't done the work to get it to the point
correct
that it needs to be working, right?
Right.
And in life, if you
get a second chance, it's
rare.
Yeah.
And if you get one, you better jump on it.
Correct.
And don't fuck it up.
Like,
you better be on it and get it done and take care of business. And if you don't take care of business, that's on you. Like, if you're not handling your shit,
right,
you can't expect anybody else to. Right.
Now, should we preface this with the fact that we both had really good homes that we grew up in? And
I don't know. Yes and no. I mean, I was the youngest of six, so
yeah,
I was maybe a scoshball, you know. I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna say you're
laughing. Dude, I don't know which one's worse. You or me? You were the baby, and I was only.
Only, right?
So
it's the same thing.
Yeah, right? I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, and there was a 4-year separation between me and my oldest sibling. So, yeah, I mean, look, but still, even if you come, just do right.
No, I know
that you can ignore your background.
All of it.
That has very little to do with doing in the present. Right? Maybe the quality of what you do may be influenced by what you've done.
Correct.
But there's no excuse to not do.
No. And I'm gonna dial back to what I was just kind of referring to.
Right.
I've had jobs where I made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they were pleasant experiences. Mm-hmm. And then I've had jobs where I haven't made a lot of money and right. there was a lot more work.
Yep.
And I remember telling our producer, Tom, that I was surprised at how much more work there was for the least amount of money.
Yeah.
And that really opened my eyes to how sheltered yeah. I had been in my life.
Yeah.
Folk, you can't live on minimum wage.
No.
You can't. I mean,
it's impossible.
Let's say you have kids. Let's say you've got 3 jobs.
Yep.
You're still not making it. Yep. I don't think you can be above the poverty level doing that, no. at least in the state of Illinois.
True that.
One
of the highest tax states in the country.
Correct.
Just pointing that out. Not that I'm bitter or anything.
No, I'm with you there.
Not that I disagree with the government in Illinois necessarily. But they could certainly be better.
And I'm sorry to go off on this tangent.
No, go ahead.
It's just, it's so easy to sit where you are and look yep. at other folks and judge yep. them and say,
right.
oh, well, you should have tried harder in school, or
right.
you should have done this,
for
or
sure.
you should have done that.
Right.
You don't know where they came from?
Nope.
I've worked with some of the best people in the world at minimum wage jobs.
Yeah.
And that's...
Right. I think what you're saying is the same thing I said earlier, in that nobody's walked in my size 12s. You can't tell me what I've been through.
True.
That doesn't work.
No.
Right? Like, you don't know all the hurdles I've had to leap, or the 60-hour work weeks I've had to go through to get where I'm at.
Right.
Like, nobody walks through my shoes but me.
Exactly. I don't look at your family. I don't look right. at your education.
Right.
I don't look at where.
Right.
I mean, nobody
right.
but you
right.
has had all of those exact same things.
Correct. Which is why I finally came to the realization that I don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks. Because you haven't been in my shoes.
Right.
You haven't gone through what I've gone through. You haven't worked 4 years on an overnight gig, falling asleep at 10 a.m. and getting up at 7 p.m. to get to work.
To do what you love to do.
To do right.
Yeah. No, I
sacrifice holidays, birthdays, weekends, et cetera, et cetera. I go on and on and on
right.
throughout my 18-year career where I work. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, I don't care what you do. Like, do you? I don't give a fuck. Like, whatever you need to do to hustle to make your dough, unless it's criminal, I'm not going to judge you on it. Right? If you got to work 3 jobs to pay whatever, great. If you have to work 1 job and work really, really hard at that 1 job and work 50 hours, 60 hours a week at that 1 job, great. You do you, because I'm doing me.
All right, hardcore. I'm going Les Miserables on you right now.
Yes.
Now, I've got to feed my family.
Yes.
I got nothing.
Yep.
I'm going to steal bread.
Okay.
You just said that anything that's not criminal, mm-hmm. as far as a side hustle,
yeah.
whatever. I got to take care of my people.
Well, I mean, family is a completely different thing, obviously, right? Isn't it? Right? I know I somewhat contradict myself, but at the same point, it's like...
Look, you could be president.
Yeah. Right? I can go back on A lot of shit I said, right? But at the same point, for 99.9% of the population.
Sure.
As long as you're not doing anything illegal, do you. Right. If you want to grow the biggest flowers and sell the flowers, great. If you want to do a vlog and get a million subscribers on YouTube, great. If you want to be the authority on Beanie Babies and go give lectures on Beanie Babies or whatever, go.
You're trying hard not to say Smurfs, aren't you, Joe?
I am very hard. Whatever, go do it. Like, just do it.
Yeah.
But the point of that explanation is, do it.
That's the point.
Don't sit back and think the life owes you shit, because it doesn't.
Right.
Do you.
Yeah.
Whatever you have to do you, do you. If whatever, and this comes from the Gary Vee video that we watched pre-show. Figure out what you want to do with the rest of your life and do it. Right? Like, there's nothing in this world other than being a touring musician that I'd rather do than what I'm doing. Literally. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing in my life that I'd rather do than what I'm doing now other than being a touring musician, recording music, getting paid for it, going on tour, making money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? But if I could do that with the variable of wife, kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I would absolutely go do it.
And I think that's what most people's rebuke to you would be.
Right.
Is, you know, Joe, that sounds great. I wish I could do that.
Right.
However,
right.
I have
yeah.
a wife.
Sure.
And a kid.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I think what you were going for there is, it doesn't have to be big.
No.
You don't have to make, it doesn't have to be your career.
No.
But do something. I mean, if you right. have a passion,
yes.
don't think about it. Don't whine about it. Don't whinge about it. Don't whatever. Just do it.
Right. I wish I could do a podcast.
We're doing it.
Doing kinda. A podcast. Right? For better or for worse.
We're doing it.
For great podcasts or shitty podcasts.
It'll get better.
Of course it'll get better, but we're doing a podcast.
Right.
Because it's something I felt in my heart I needed to add to my life.
As did I.
Right?
In fact, I think I came to you about 2 years before.
I think you might have, and I said, nah, you know, whatever.
I'm a little busy.
And then when we
I
went
got
out,
stuff.
And that was...
You might have had 3 fucks left then.
I might have had 3 fucks left. Yeah. There's a distinct possibility I had 3 fucks left. Maybe 2. But now, nah, no fucks. You want to do it? Let's do it. Oh, you want me to burn PTO to come down here and do it? Yeah, I'm in. What do we have to do? Whatever I got to do it. Let's do it. And I lived my truth, right? Right? Like, I
no.
take time off, I come down here, and we do it.
Correct.
Because it's important to me, and I know that it's important to you. And this podcast being important to you is important to me, if that makes any cyclical sense.
It does.
Right? Like, I want us to be happy. But at the same point, other than the people in this room, so me, you, and Tommy, they're sitting over there.
Right.
I don't care. Like, I don't, you can like it or not like it. I hope you like it. But if you don't like it, I'm not going to go in the fetal position in my room, in a dark room, and cry about it.
You mean you're not going to go and, like, record E! News no. and, like, watch all of the, you know, whatever no. the current...
Yep. I might write a song about it.
Well, that would work.
That's yeah, for sure. But
other you're not going to tape everything that Stephen A. Smith has done in the last no. month and come in here and regurgitate it because
no.
apparently that works
for some people. Sure. Well, yeah. Sure. Yeah, Stephen Angry Smith. Everybody loves him. And Colin Cowherd should get together at some point. Because oh. I don't. And I hate to keep going back to it, but I honestly hope everybody likes the first 3 episodes of this podcast
and
the first 25 minutes, it looks like we're counting here, of this podcast.
It's,
but in the end,
it's a divergence.
I'm not doing it to get applause.
Right.
I'm doing it because I want to do it.
Right.
And I think it's cathartic
more of a need
in a way.
To do it for me, I think.
That may be true.
Yeah.
But I can only count for myself. And
right.
I can tell you from my aspect,
mm-hmm.
I want to do this. And it's something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time. And finally, I ran out of fucks to give, and I'm doing it.
And here we are.
And here we are. So I think that's a good 25-minute rant on life.
Okay.
So.
Well, you know what? We were going to do Derrick Rose.
We were going to do it. We'll save that.
I think that might be too much
yeah.
to throw on here. Yeah. So we had some folks out there that asked us when we mentioned music earlier, because we're both musically inclined.
Nerd.
For what our favorite concerts were.
Yes.
So I'm going to pose to you at this point, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Give me your top three concerts. And I'm saying this because I can't go 1, 2, 3. But I have three favorites that I know of. So give me three favorites.
Okay. I will say this. I've always, in my entire life,
yes, sir,
have designated my concerts.
Oh.
And this is something that's I'm dropping on you right now, Jay. Because I feel I need to. Rush and non-Rush.
Oh.
I know that sounds weird, but I will say this.
Not weird, but bad, man.
No, not bad.
Okay.
Come on, man. Just kidding. look, the difference between Rush shows and non-Rush shows is the visual of a Rush show.
Yeah.
Bombard is a wrong word, but they give you more than just what they're playing. There's always been an added value to their shows, be it video, lasers, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not just the music. It's always been the music plus.
I've seen Kiss, Joe. I know this.
Well, exactly. Yes. It's the same concept. But yeah, it's the same concept. So I will give you my three non-Rush. Mm-hmm. We go with that, right?
Okay.
I will say this, that Rush, in terms of entertainment value, no one's met that yet. But I will give you three shows on top of that.
Okay, wait.
Yeah,
go ahead. Let me categorize this. So Rush, whatever Rush is above everything else.
Yeah.
Now non-Rush we're coming with right now.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm leaving Rush out of the equation.
Right.
Not that Rush was better than these concerts, but it's a different, it's apples and oranges.
Right.
Because Rush just brings so much other things other than just the music. So with all that being said, here we go. In no particular order. Here we go. Wilco at the Chicago Theater when I was sitting five rows away from Wilco.
Year?
Last year.
2017. Okay.
They were incredible. They blew me away. Unfortunately, they offered it as a download. Like they recorded the show, and I have that show, so I always have it. So I will say that's one of the three.
Okay.
The second of the three will be, I'll go with Bob Mould, a show we both went to at Metro. The single loudest show either of us have been to.
I am not a loud show person.
Not so much me either, but
I brought Kleenex from the laboratory.
Wasn't enough.
And put it in my ears and a kindly patron came up to me and said, "Hey, man, I got extra earplugs. You need them?" And I'm like, "Yes."
And I went sans earplugs and I regret it.
And that
it
show
to
was
day.
Fantastic. It was fantastic.
And my third show, it's got to be Wilco again.
Nope.
At Otto's in DeKalb.
I was there as well.
You were there as well. I will say that I'll give a 3B to that.
Oh, wait,
that.
So was Tommy.
I'll give a 3B to that. Another show that we both went to, Jason Isbell at the Double Door when he first broke away from Drive-By Truckers.
Opened with?
Justin Townes Earl.
Oh.
Who was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I mean, there's to narrow it down to just three is tough.
Probably, those are probably riddled with heroin at the point.
I think he was clean at that point.
JTE.
He was clean at that point.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was kind of his clean part. I don't know if he still is or isn't, but
okay.
I don't want to make accusing statements.
I don't
want to
be that guy either.
Whatever. But what about you, Jay? What are your three?
My top three.
You may clarify them any way you'd like, because it's your truth.
I know.
So you tell me.
I'm with you there. I know. I think they might all be from Poplar Creek. No, I take that back. Two Poplar Creek, one Alpine Valley. Tom Petty.
Such a good call.
Caravan tour where the Replacements opened.
Oh, what?
It's got to be number one. Number two, the first time I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan on the Soul to Soul tour at Poplar Creek. And the third would be the Steel Wheels tour at Alpine Valley with Living Color opening.
I was at that show. We just didn't know it, that we were each. We didn't go together. We were both at that show. Before we even knew each other, we were both at that show. But
that's correct.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, give me your biggest surprise. A show you went to and you're like, meh. And you get there and you're like, that would be the reverse Antiques Roadshow for anybody there looking. Yeah, because normally it's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You got Charles E. Cheese's sword.
Really?
It would be worth $10 kajillion if...
Oh, you hadn't marked the handle.
Exactly.
All right. I'm going to go with... Now, this all has to be prefaced by the fact you paid money to go see somebody, right?
It could be a free show. Did you see Menudo for free?
I wouldn't go across the street.
Oh, come on, man.
If they were on fire, I
wouldn't. Come on, man. Zay's going
to
get you.
That's fine. Zay can come get me if he wants to. He knows where I live. Good luck driving there. Let's see. Are we talking opening act or headliner?
Biggest surprise.
Just biggest surprise. Okay. It got to be Justin Townes Earl.
All right.
Right? Gotta be.
I think you're right.
I'll give a honorable mention. I went to go see Matthew Sweet.
Ooh.
And I wasn't
opening for were with somebody that was
it wasn't that at all. It was just I didn't expect him to be that good. I mean, I paid money to go see him, so there was an expectation.
What album? Altered Beast?
No, it was the Blue Sky on Mars tour.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that album, and I'm the only one. Tommy hates it.
Okay, well.
Just look at the disdain on his face.
That's right, yeah.
Hates that
album. See you shaking your head.
Oh, my God. Fucking hates that album. Oof. But I loved it, and I went to go to the Riv to see him, and he was better than expected. My expectation was kind of high, but.
Right.
Yeah. No, I got you. I'll say of headliners, Matthew Sweet killed it. He was awesome.
All right, I'll take that.
What do you got?
I went to the Riv with our good friend Tom. Mm-hmm. And saw Richard Thompson.
Oh,
and just I went in there. I mean, I honestly, I went in there as a guy.
Yep.
To be my buddy's guy.
Of course.
I mean, you don't want to go to a show by yourself.
No.
Hey, come see this with me. Sure. All right, that's cool.
Right.
His stories.
Uh-huh.
Funny.
Yeah.
And the
dry. Guitar, I mean, he's got an awesome sense of humor.
Oh, an awesome sense of humor. Yeah. And the guitar playing was just ridiculous. I mean, out of this world, which didn't really surprise me.
No.
But that show was just, it was a face melter. All right, Joe, biggest disappointment.
I'm going to give you a show I walked out of.
Ooh.
I heard two songs.
Ooh.
And walked out.
All right.
And it's a band a lot of people love, Jay.
Is it A-ha, Joe?
It is not A-ha, nor is it Spandau Ballet. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I went to a show at the World Music Center Theater, Tweeter,
Counselor,
whatever the hell that place is called now. First Midwest Bank Amphitheater, I think it's called now.
Brutal.
The opening acts for this band were the Freedy Jones Band.
Okay.
Who were great.
You stayed for Freedy.
I did stay for Freedy. Ben Harper.
I like Ben Harper.
Ben Harper was great.
Innocent Criminals.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Two songs into the headliner, we walked out.
Ooh.
And that headliner was Dave Matthews. The sound at this place was awful in every way. I almost sent an email to Jam Productions or whoever the promoter was to get my money back. It was awful in every way, shape, form, and matter.
Wow.
It was one of the worst shows I've ever been to. That's why I will not go see him ever again. And I was, this is when Dave Matthews just started headlining. Like, so it was at the, like, you know,
I don't think we need to go into it,
but either way, like, I, to this day, I will not go to a Dave Matthews show. I don't care who's opening. I don't care who's playing. I'm not going.
All right. Well, I would have lost this bet because I was with you on what I thought was your biggest disappointment show.
Ooh.
That would have been DBT at the Castle.
That was pretty disappointing. To be fair, I was a bit drinky.
Well,
my philosophy wasn't in a place, and I didn't really like where we were sitting either.
Okay.
So there was a lot of extenuating. That was a pretty big disappointment.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. You came back and like sent out notes saying, I'll never see this band again.
Fuck DBT. No, I'll go see them again. I understand the circumstances behind it. And the opening act was the Dexateens. They were really good.
They were really good.
Yeah. But, we just caught them on a bad. It is what it is. Because I've seen shows from them. They were incredible. Like, we saw them at the Vic or the Metro. It was the Vic. And they were killer. So I'm going to give the devil their due and chalk it up to a bad night.
Okay. I'll take that.
And I will even say that even the Dave Matthews Band show I mentioned might not have been their fault. It might have been the sound guy's fault, but the sound was just ridiculous.
I'll take that.
And we were sitting in pavilion seats. We did not sit on the lawn. Like, these were, we paid good money for these seats.
Right.
And
that.
It was awful. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to run back around because I think I missed my biggest surprise.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah.
I'm going to say JTE on that as well.
Yeah, man.
Opening for Jason Isbell.
I remember after he was done.
We looked at each other and we're like,
what the fuck just happened?
There's no way that this cat can pull this off. He comes out and he's wearing like Floyd the Barber clothes from Mayberry.
Yeah, he's got a guy with him that's kind of playing mandolin. He's a multi-instrument. He plays fiddle and mandolin and guitar. And we're like, how good could this possibly be? It's just no drummer, no bass player, no band.
Right.
How good could it possibly be?
But he did My Mother's Eyes that night.
Oh, my God. He did.
To this day.
Oh, he did.
He did a lot.
His entire set was incredible. Yeah, only played for, 45 minutes? And it was, blew my mind, man.
No, it was pretty strong.
Yeah. He was incredible, man. Like, it was, and Isbell backed it up. Like, that's one of the top three shows I've ever been to. Because a lot of it was, the opening act was so damn good.
Right.
But then he was so damn good. And then, this is back when Jason had his addiction problems and whatever. But he never showed it on stage.
No.
He was ridiculously good.
Yeah.
You know, and
functioning.
It's a lot,
as they say.
Definitely functioning for sure. Like, he for sure had all kinds of problems and just went out and was, and we saw him pre-rehab 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we saw on that tour. I saw him again with my wife at Double Door. It was him and Joe Pug.
Okay.
Played together, and Isbell played first. Right. So we got the hell out of Dodge because Joe Pug, I'm not a big fan of, but Jason played first, and we were out of there. He was incredible then.
We saw him in Northern.
Yeah, we saw him at a
coffee house.
Like, full band at a coffee house in DeKalb.
Yes.
And now the kid's selling out, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 arenas.
Oh,
he sold out the theater, Chicago Theater twice last year. Like,
had a residency at the Ryman for a week.
Yeah. That kid deserves every bit of praise and money he gets because he turned his life around, and his band is ridiculous.
Amen. All right, I've got a big surprise dash A.
Okay.
Coldplay.
Yeah.
At Austin City Limits Festival. Yeah. Had zero interest in seeing that.
Yeah.
My wife kind of wanted to see it. All right. Groovy. We'll stay. Light show, acoustics.
That's the point.
All of it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They put on a show.
Listen, I'm gonna go on a limb, and we're gonna have an episode at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe episode 5 or 6. of unfuckwithable albums.
Sure.
Like, we're going to have that episode at some point.
All right. We'll get there.
Parachutes by Coldplay.
You think that's up there?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
That album, and you know, Rush of Blood to the Head is another awesome album. But it's just ridiculously good. And both of those cats, the fact that you saw Coldplay and enjoyed their show is not a surprise. Because those first two albums, ridiculously good.
They were very well done.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm having a hard time coming up with a big disappointment, Joe. I'm sure. All right, I'll give you one.
Okay.
Biggest disappointment show is one that I missed.
Yep.
I had tickets to see Jackson Browne in 1991 in Milwaukee.
Okay. Was this at Summerfest or the...
Oh, this was at...
The theater.
The Palace, the theater, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had third row center.
Oh, nice.
First acoustic show that...
Wait, so Jackson Browne was only... It was just him.
Correct.
Oh.
First time since, like, what did I say it was? Whatever I said it was. But yeah. First time since, like, early 80s.
Right.
Yeah. That he was solo acoustic.
Yep.
I missed the show by a day, Joe.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You had the wrong day?
I did.
Oh, no.
In my head, I had one date, and on the ticket, there was another date.
Oh,
and
no.
My girlfriend at the time and I showed up.
Yeah.
And all the posters were up and everything.
Sure.
And we were a little late, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, why are the doors are locked?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I'm... I'm not a real happy guy all the time, Joe. So I'm driving home, and
I would be fuming.
Yeah, I'm that. I'm that guy.
And we should say, before we continue, Jackson Browne is one of your top five guys. He's your guy.
As singer-songwriters go, in my world,
he's your guy.
I would put him with James Taylor.
He's a Mitch. Yeah. Yep.
Glenn Phillips. Right. Jason Isbell. Noel Gallagher. So I'm driving home and I'm looking over my, you know, just staring out the side of the thing that it's not going to let me hit anything on the way home, and hating life, hating myself, hating the world.
Yeah.
And, all of a sudden I get a tap on my shoulder and I look to my right, and my girlfriend at the time is completely naked.
Well, then when
I went from the absolute worst possible disappointing show
to
something that was pretty amazing.
This isn't that bad.
And I was honestly so down in the depths from this show that I had zero idea that any of this was going on, which made it quite a treat for me.
Oh, yeah.
So, I am going to move on to you with your favorite show of someone you've never heard of.
Ooh. Boy, I don't know. I had heard of Justin Townsend before.
I don't think I had, but
I had heard, but I hadn't. I wasn't a quote-unquote fan. Right. I wasn't bought
into it. Oh, wait, what? Steve Earle's kid?
Right.
Okay.
Steve Earle's kid, exactly. Like, oh, it's Steve Earle's kid. Like, I knew that.
Right.
And I heard maybe a song, but. Boy, I don't know, a show that is this better than I expected, or just I had no expectation and it was awesome?
It's somebody you've never heard of. You walked in the door, so I'm guessing it's going to be an opener.
Okay.
I'm guessing somebody dragged you to this.
All right.
Got it.
This is going to sound horrible for the record, for all of you listening. I don't remember the band's name.
and scene.
Right, exactly. But I will say this. I'll paint the picture when we get to it, right?
Okay.
It was the Jason Isbell show at the coffee house in DeKalb.
Okay.
Was that American Bottle Rocket or American Skyrocket?
I have an album from one of the bands that opened for him then. They're from North Carolina.
Yeah, that's the band. That's what I'm talking about.
I've got their album.
It's American, whatever they're called.
I'll dig it out later.
Whatever, that band.
I buy opening acts albums.
I feel horrible not knowing the name of the band. However, right. I will say, for the most part, oh, no, I take that back. There's one more.
Okay. Do you know the name?
Yes.
Okay.
Lydia Lovelace.
Oh.
Yes.
Well played.
Yes, thank you. She opened for Isbell when we saw him at the Castle Theater here in Bloomington. She was amazing.
She's an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, well. I had heard a song or two, and I'm like, okay, this is great, whatever. But that, her, she went out for those 40 minutes or 45 minutes she had and just grabbed the entire audience by the newts and just
threw it all out there.
This is what I am. This is how I rock and roll. This is what you're going to hear. And
zero fucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Zero fucks. Done. And that's the way she works. She actually had a documentary about her called
Correct.
Who is Lydia Lovelace, right?
I contributed to that.
Good for you. Do you have it? Because let's watch it later.
I do.
I have not seen it. But I will say this. That show blew me away. I heard good things about her, and I had not heard any of her songs, but she was amazingly good. She kicked my ass. It was good. So that's my substitute.
And a sober Jason Isbell, to his credit, said, hey, if you see her, buy her a shot.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and a side note to current events, let's bring it back a loop. She tweeted that she was going to play in Chicago.
In the next 2 weeks.
Nothing on her website, nothing. So I got to tweet her back and find out. So I hear you're playing Chicago.
Where's that at?
Where might that be and when? I would like to know because I'd like to come see you. Because your website has nothing.
All right. My favorite show of someone I've never heard of was at Anton's/Antone's.
Oh,
in Austin.
In Austin, okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And it was the Scabs, headlined by Bob Schneider.
Oh!
Yes. And
so was it the Scabs or Bob Schneider?
It was the Scabs.
Okay.
So my friend Jay and I are standing in front of the stage, and this cat comes out, and this band looks amazing. They've got like full on horns. They've got, you know, guitars, bass, keyboards, drums. I mean, the full nine. And this guy comes out and he squats down and he's got a sock hat on, or as
a toque,
you folks know, as a ski hat, winter, whatever you want to call it.
Did it have the ears on it?
No,
so it was just a regular. We'll call it a beanie and or
yeah.
Toque.
What you know? What? Yeah.
Just a winter.
What a hipster would wear in the summer in Brooklyn or Portland.
Either way,
whatever. So he's squatted down, like kind of looking at the audience, all meh, and he's got a sucker in his mouth. And I looked at my friend Jay and I said, "There is no way in the world."
Right.
That this guy pulls this off.
No.
There is absolutely zero way.
Right.
We're going to see three songs. We're going to laugh and we're out. I bought their entire catalog from the merch table that night before I left because that just blew my face away.
Yeah.
That was the best band I'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't throw this in. I was sick. I had the flu.
Oh.
Yeah. On top of that, and it was still that good. It was still that good.
That's a vivid memory. I'll say this also. Can I give an honorable mention to
an
opening act that I dug super, and I had heard them before, but I had not seen them, and blew me away. Mm-hmm. James McMurtry.
Oh,
was ridiculous when we saw him open for Isbell.
Correct.
His last time through here.
Yes,
he was crazy good.
And Larry McMurtry's son.
Yes, for those of you, the author Larry McMurtry, his kid, James McMurtry, first album came out.
You say his kid, but he looks like he's like 70.
He is 70. But
pretty old.
He was, his first major label album came out when I worked at Hegwisch Records.
Okay.
So that's 89.
Wow.
90, right?
Yeah.
So Long in the Wasteland or whatever the hell it's called.
Right.
Whatever.
So he probably started at 83.
Probably, before. Yeah. So, but either way, he was really good. He was really, really good. And his band, the best part about it was his band seemed like they enjoyed to be there, and they really enjoyed the gig they were playing.
Right.
Which, when you're an opening act, may or may not be the case a lot of times. Like, correct, the opening act we saw for Isabel last time he came, when he played in Peoria, Strand of Oak.
Yeah.
They kind of, I don't know, I didn't like their music, A, and B, the attitude wasn't there,
yeah, as much. They felt like they shouldn't have been opening, right, is the vibe that I got.
Right. And the funny thing is, they opened for him later in the year.
Tour, yeah.
Later in the year. Like, they played the East Coast and they opened for him. So they're from Philly. But
that's what I was going to say. They are from the East Coast. So probably those shows they might have gotten more love from.
Yeah. Distinctly possible. So.
All right. Well, the reason why we're talking about concerts is I'm going to one on Saturday.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to see Noel Gallagher at the Chicago Theater.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a big deal for me because I became an insane Oasis fan starting around Christmas of last year. I don't want
to
say
that I'm to blame on that, but I might have been.
No, you
was
helped.
Was I?
No, you helped.
Did I help your addiction to?
You did. You did. You did. Feed you fed my addiction.
I did.
Anyway, I'm excited for this show, and I was telling Joe earlier in the production meeting,
of course,
that my favorite Noel Gallagher story was he was playing a festival with
awesome story.
With Rick Astley. I'm not just with Rick Astley. Festival. Big
many,
festival.
Many people, but Rick Astley.
Correct. Yeah. Just happened to have the dressing room across from him. And Astley's on stage, and Noel comes out, and he gets ready to go down and kind of get prepped for the show. And he sees on Rick Astley's nameplate that it says Rick Astley, and then in Sharpie, is shit underneath it. And just like I would have, the first reaction that he had was,
oh my God,
that's pretty funny. That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
So, and then he thought, oh my God, what if my band did this? So he turns around and he goes back in and he goes, hey, which one of you guys wrote on Astley's sign? And they're like, well, we didn't do anything.
Right,
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. And he goes, well, it says Rick Astley is shit. They all laugh. Like you would.
Right, of course. Yeah. As one is want to do.
Exactly. So then again, worrying that people will think that they did it, he walks outside and he grabs a custodian and he's like, hey, man, you got to change this sign before he gets off stage and comes back up here. So the guy's like, oh, yeah, got it. Right. Whatever. So he goes down, gets another printout of the name card, comes back up, takes one out, starts to put the other one in. And Rick Astley walks up and goes, hey, what are you doing?
Done with the set. Going back.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Done
with the set. So time to get back to the room.
Yep.
And he goes, hey, what's going on? What are you guys doing? And the custodian completely flummoxed. Is like, I had to put a new one in.
I got the thing with the thing, and I got to do the thing with the thing.
I had to put a new one in.
Of course.
And he looks at Noel, and Noel just nods. Yeah, yeah. New one. That's what he said. And he goes, why? And he goes, well, it just needed to be a new one. That's and right. Astley's like, well, why did there need to be a new one? And finally, Noel breaks down and goes, because it said Rick Astley is shit underneath. And he goes, yeah, I know. I wrote it. He goes, I write it every time I go on tour. I put it on festivals and stuff. He goes, it drives people crazy. And so, you know, kudos to Rick Astley for having a sense of humor
right, yeah,
and being able to laugh at himself and being able to prank people without really trying to.
Right, exactly.
So
I kind of have a similar story, and we'll end the podcast after this one. This is a good
story. All right.
So Dennis Leary, the comedian, actor, right? He did a song called Asshole.
Yes, he did.
Right?
I'm an asshole.
Right, exactly. So he did a bit on a comedy on one of his things on HBO where he talks about he sends his kids to a very Catholic private school, right? Because he can. So one day he gets a call from the headmaster of the school. Like, you have to come in right away. We need you to get here right away. Your daughter has done something. We need you to come in right away.
So if I'm Leary, I'm thinking my kid cut her arm off.
Correct.
In art class.
Right. Or beat somebody up. Or
whatever. Right. I'm there.
Some sort of something. Right?
Yes.
So he's like, all right. So he calls his wife. Did you get the message from the schoolmaster? And she's like, yep, I'm on my way. And he's like, all right, I'm on my way. So they meet there. They go in the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster is this uppity super, school type, what you would imagine the schoolmaster to be, 40-year-old woman, right? And the schoolmaster goes, your daughter said a very bad word. And they look at each other, so she didn't hurt anybody, she didn't, whatever, right? What word did she say? And the lady couldn't say it. So she wrote it down on a piece of paper.
Can I clarify, is this a nun?
It could be a nun.
Okay.
It's that
it makes
level,
more sense
that
to
level
me.
Of, right, that level of.
A penguin.
Correct. Maybe a penguin. So she writes the name down and slides it across the table to Dennis. And Dennis picks up the paper and looks at the name. And the schoolmaster, whatever, says, how does she know what that word is? And the word was asshole. And Dennis goes, lady, I wrote the song.
It's paying for this tuition.
Right. I wrote the song called Asshole. Like, know it. I wrote it. what are you talking about? So I thought that'd be a funny way to end episode
yes,
4. We didn't mean to go all touchy-feely, but we wanted to get that out because it's something we talked about beforehand.
It's going to be genuine and real, and
yeah,
whatever comes up.
We want you guys to understand where we're coming from and the whole nine yards. We didn't want it to be a cookie cutter. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about this, and we're 100% going to talk about shit that is concerning to us.
Correct.
In one way or the other. So,
and if Derrick Rose is a Timberwolf next time, then hey.
Next time we talk.
Then there's a better story.
Right. Then it's even better that Tibbs has to deal with Derrick Rose.
Again.
Right.
And Jimmy.
And Taj. And yeah, right. Anyway.
Taji Woo.
So that'll end it for this episode of It's That Podcast. We hope you enjoy it. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/itsthatpod. Go to our website, itsthatpodcast.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode and any future episodes. If you have any questions or comments, leave them on the Facebook page. We'll get to them.
Or email us.
Right, you can email us, joe@itsthatpodcast.com, jason@itsthatpodcast.com. So make sure you get a hold of us. If there's something you want to hear or talk about, let us know, man. We're all open. But
Joe gives zero fucks.
And I give zero fucks to what you think of me. But I'm going to address your questions or comments or anything else.
Regarding the show
with vigor and accuracy. So we're going to take care of business. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of It's That Podcast. We'll talk to you next time. You guys have a good week. Thanks
so much.